Psalm 99, Mark read for us just a few minutes ago this amazing psalm. We have been going through a series in the psalm, Psalm 96, 7, 8. Today, Psalm 99. Next week, Lord willing, Psalm 100. And we've been focusing in on worship and majoring on the themes that the psalmist has given to us as believers, specifically to the worshipers in Israel, but certainly these truths and principles, as well as the realities of who God is, translates into our day and our Christian lives as well. There is, as you I'm sure noticed, a very reliable theme in Psalm 99. Verse 3, let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. Verse 5, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. And then verse 9, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. When holiness is spoken of, written of, talked about in the Bible, and especially when that holiness is in reference directly to God, the idea of this word holiness is that something is so special, something is so different from the norm, that it is set apart as unique. It is precious. And our God is certainly all of that. Psalm 30, verse 4, we read, sing to the Lord, O you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. I was struck with that verse as we were preparing for the Lord's table this morning. That there was a connection between the holiness of God and the Lord Jesus and our remembrance of him. Let me read it again. Psalm 30, verse 4, sing to the Lord. That's been a theme that we've seen repeatedly. Sing to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. And so as we prepare our hearts to worship around the table in communion with him this morning, let's take time to remember the holiness of our Savior Jesus Christ this morning. But before we do, there is a truth that is common to most of us as human beings. Here it is. Familiarity often breeds forgetfulness. Familiarity often breeds forgetfulness. You say, what do you mean? Well, let me bring it home. You bring home that puppy. I mean, oh, it's the focus. So cute. Smells a little, but it's so cute. And everyone gives it this moment by moment, constant attention. And what does that turn into? A life of joy and happiness? No, it's not too long before we forget it, or at least we would like to forget it. That dog, which brings us so much frustration over time. Familiarity often breeds forgetfulness. How about that spouse which you so diligently pursued and tried to impress and showed interest in, and now you have a difficult time remembering your anniversary? Familiarity often breeds forgetfulness. That car, I've been there. You get that car. And you love the smell of that car, and you love the looks of that car, and you make the rule, no eating in the car. And now you could serve a buffet off the floor. Why? Because familiarity often breeds forgetfulness. The longer we're with someone, the longer we're with something, the more likely we are to give into the temptation to take that thing or that person for granted and forget them due to the allurement of other things. So the question for us this morning is, how often is it that you and I forget the Lord Jesus Christ's holiness? It is why the psalmist says in Psalm 30 that we just read to remember. The psalmist says, remember his holiness. It is why Jesus commanded his followers to take the bread and the juice in remembrance of him. It's why the psalmist exhorts the worshipers in Psalm 39 to exalt, to remember to lift high the Lord. Why? Because he is holiness. And in our familiarity with him, and in our familiarity with a walk with the Lord, we often forget the astonishing, the staggering truth of his holiness. Now notice the illustration from some very ordinary men in Psalm 99. Verse 6, Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinances he gave them. You answered them, O Lord, our God. You were to them God who forgives, though you took vengeance on their deeds. These were faithful men. They walked with God, talking with God and singing to God and learning from God. But all of that, why? Because they were typical human beings. All of that became familiar territory. And with that familiar came the temptation to forget his holiness. Yet, when Moses repented and remembered the Lord, God forgave his angry outbursts. See, the angry outbursts of Moses stood in stark contrast to the forgiving, loving holiness of the God who spoke to him. Why did God forgive? We notice in verse 8, you were to them God who forgives. El Nasa. This is who God is. God who bears burden. God who forgives. And our God is the God who forgives like no other. He's holy. After Aaron doubted and sided with his sister in her rebellion, God forgave, and God used Aaron to lead the nation in worship. Specifically how? In a nationwide remembrance of God's holiness. This is what Aaron was to do. So Aaron, as you experience God's holiness in his forgiveness in your life, you now are to lead the nation to see this holy God that has forgiven you and will forgive them. Samuel is mentioned here. Samuel cried out to God and called on his name when his sons were forbidden to judge Israel. Now, whether or not he's partially to blame for their rebellion or not is beside the point. The Bible doesn't give us clear indication there. Beside that point, the Lord in his holiness could not accept them as leaders of Israel. Nevertheless, Samuel knew him, and he knew him as the only true God who would forgive, even his sons. So verses 6 through 8 give us a powerful example of this astonishing fact that God hears us, God communicates with us, God forgives us even though he knows us, and he works on our behalf. We are sinful, and he is holy. And yet as you move into the New Testament, what are we told in 1 Peter chapter 1? But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So what is it that made our Lord Jesus holy? What is it that set him apart as precious, as special? He was what none of us can claim. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says he was without sin. 1 Peter 2:2, he committed no sin. 1 John 3:5, in him was no sin. The sinlessness of Jesus is a universal teaching of Scripture. It flows through the Bible. We can go back into the Old Testament book of Isaiah. Isaiah 53:11, where Jesus, the Messiah to come, is called the righteous one. The one who is always right, without wrong, without error, without evil, without sin. Psalm 45:7, Jesus, the future Messiah, is called the one who loves righteousness and hates, and the word hate means to separate himself from, hates to go contrary towards evil. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 8, if you would, with me. I'd like to show you an interesting statement that Jesus makes. John chapter 8. Beginning in verse 42, as Jesus speaks to a large number of people, and it is primarily made up of those who do not believe, those who do not see Jesus as holy. That's important. The Pharisees, the disciples are there as well. That's important. So listen, beginning in verse 42, follow along here, John chapter 8, verse 42. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me." Now notice verse 46. "Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me?" This is, again, spoken to the Pharisees. But the disciples who lived with him were here as well. Jesus asked the question in verse 46, "Do you tell me when I've sinned? Show me, where have I actually sinned?" He asked the question in verse 46 because he knew that there was only one answer. And he asked it in front of both his enemies and his friends. He covered all the bases. If anyone wanted to stump him, it was the enemies. If anyone wanted to bring up sin, it was the enemies. But if anyone knew him and really knew him and what he was like away from the crowds, it was his friends. And in front of everyone present, Jesus says, "Which of you convicts me of sin?" Again, he said it because he knew there was only one answer. He was without sin. Never cease to be amazed by this. Never ever was there a rolling of the eyes. No huff, no stomp, no slam door, no opportunity to question his motives, no inconsistencies in front of enemies or friends, set apart, different from the norm, precious, special, Jesus our Lord. This is our Jesus. And as we come around the table today, we have the wonderful privilege of the invitation which says, "Come. Come in," and as often as you do this, as often as you eat, as often as you drink, you do this in remembrance of me. In remembrance of what? In remembrance of his holiness. He is precious. He is special. But I want us also to notice that with Jesus, it's more than just his actions. It was his heart. It was his attitude. Theologians call it his causal core. Say, what's that? He did because he was. Or he does because he is. At the core of who Jesus was and is lays something that none of us have. A sinless holiness. John 6:38, for I have come down, Jesus says this, I have come down from heaven. Not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. None of me, all of him. John 4:34, Jesus said to them, my food, that which nourishes me, that which sustains me, that which keeps me going, that which I feast on every day. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Again, none of me, all of him. John 8:29, he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. The holiness that we read about in Psalm 99, that which is the cause for praise for his great and awesome name, his holiness. That which is the cause for us to exalt, the motivation behind our worship, he is holy, verse 5. The reason we exalt, the reason we worship at his holy hill is because the Lord our God is holiness. Believer, remember this, be amazed by this, worship him, your Savior. When you worship your Savior, yes, praise him for the fact that his perfect, sinless life, death, and resurrection provides salvation for you. But do not forget his holiness. Do not forget the fact. Do not cease to be amazed by the fact that when Isaiah stood in the throne room of God, his response as all around him cried out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Isaiah fell to the ground and said, woe, woe is me. I am lost. I'm undone. It's his way of saying, I'm at a loss for words. I don't even know how to respond to this, for I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. This was his focus, and he was struck with the preciousness of this sinless, holy God who welcomed him into his presence. Believer, here is the beauty of holiness. The holiness of Christ was his own. The holiness of Christ was not something that was earned. The holiness of Christ was not something that was attained. The holiness of Christ was his own because it was at his causal core. Everything that he was and is consistent with perfect, righteous holiness. This is why the crowd cried out, holy, holy, holy. Holiness is essential to his being. Holiness, as we see it in the person of Jesus, is his humble outpouring of the glory that he has had from all of eternity. Why did Jesus stand out in the crowd? Because while he looked like us, he didn't look like us. He was different. He was precious. He was special. He was holy. He was without sin. Perhaps you're still in the book of John. Would you turn to John 12? John chapter 12, Jesus has predicted his death on the cross numerous times at this point. He's trying to tell his disciples, I'm only going to be with you a little bit longer. And notice what he says beginning in verse 37. Although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. It's almost unfathomable, but the mystery of Jesus was still in front of those who surrounded him. He was different. They didn't understand all that he was saying, specifically in regards to his coming and his going and his saving and his kingship. This happened, verse 38, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke. Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. That's referring right back to Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah is struck with his own sinfulness while standing in front of this holy, sinless God. Woe is me! I am undone. I have no hope apart from you. No effort on my own can stand before what I am seeing today. You alone are holy. You alone are perfect. You alone are precious. You alone are special. Jesus wasn't just going through the motions. Jesus was at his core holy. So again, the holiness of Christ was his own. It was essential to his being. It was his outpouring of glory that he had from eternity. The holiness of Jesus was his own. But get this. Remember, be holy for I am holy. The holiness of the creature. It's you and me. Our holiness, whatever holiness we have and we are told to have, is only ever received. Jesus is never. Ours, always. It is not by our will. Oh, I wish I was holy. I wish I was holy. Bing. It's not by our effort. All right, today, all right, I start my new life of holiness today. I'm going to be holy for the rest of my days. It's not by our effort. It's not manufactured. It's not manipulated by yourself. Our holiness is of God. You shall be holy for, because, as a result of my holiness, God says. We can be holy as he is holy only as he lives in us and works in us through the power of the Spirit, through the instruction of the Word. So today as we gather around the table, not only in Isaiah, holy, 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 but here in the book of Psalms, holy is he. He is holy. He is to be exalted, for he is holy. Psalm 30 verse 4, give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Today, as we take time to remember and worship, major on the holiness of Lord Jesus in action and in attitude, at the causal core and all that flowed out of him, Jesus was without sin. He was the perfect Lamb who died for all of the imperfections, all of the sin of the people. Believer, I'm thankful that you are familiar with the Lord's kindness and grace. I'm thankful that I'm familiar with it. He has saved us, and we praise Him for that. He is the perfect one, holy, sinless, without blemish. And yet He died because of my sin. Don't ever forget that. But as we gather today and as we distribute the elements, pray and worship. Pray and worship as a family. Remember Him. Praise Him, Psalm 99, that He reigns. Tremble at His holiness. Weep because of His pain. Rejoice in His love. Remember Him. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For He," this is God, the Father, "He made Him who knew no sin," Jesus, "to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God, the holiness of God in Him." It is because this Jesus, this holy, perfect Jesus, came to do the will of the Father. This is our example. Holiness is not a rule to follow. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. Holiness is a person. His name is Jesus. Today, as we celebrate around the table, may we worship Him in the staggering, precious beauty of His holiness. Our time around the table will be a little bit different this morning. Obviously, with the social distancing concerns and all that goes on in those conversations, we've made some adjustments to what we're going to do this morning, but it still is going to give us an opportunity, I believe, to do what we've just been talking about, to worship Him in the beauty of His holiness. In just a few minutes, I'm going to lead in prayer, and then a couple of our elders and their wives are going to come and get the elements here. And because we're sitting in every other row, there's an opportunity for them to come around and serve you. They will be giving you both a cup with bread in it and a cup with juice in it. And as they do, again, I would encourage you to use the time. It may take a little bit longer, but I would encourage you to use the time as Julie plays to worship, to pray, to praise, to talk with those around you about how precious our Lord is. "This do in remembrance of me," He said. And so we do so in the congregation as we praise Him and remember His perfect work on the cross. Why? Because He is holy. And then after everyone receives the elements, we will partake together and praise Him. And Lord willing, it will be a special time for you as you remember the work of our Lord. It's been about 4 months for me. And so I look forward to this time together. So I'd invite you to bow in prayer with me, and then those who are serving us will prepare. Our Heavenly Father, we come into Your presence and are just so thankful for the holy sacrifice of our Lord Jesus. It is a staggering thing for us to contemplate the perfection of our Lord. But yet in the Scriptures, You have encouraged us, You have commanded us to remember. And certainly we remember the life and death and resurrection of Jesus that stood as our only hope. We're thankful that any who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But today we add to what we already know the holiness of our Lord. Jesus, You are without sin. That is uncomprehendable to us. Everything we know has been touched by sin. And yet You, in Your perfection, in Your holiness, were without it. It was distant from you. It was foreign to you. It was something that repelled you and pushed you closer to the Father and His will. And today we praise you for that. What a privilege it is for us to remember the body and the blood. It was given for our sakes so that we may be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can be holy because you are holy. And so I pray that you would be pleased with our time of worship here today. Glorified as we remember your work on our behalf. It is in Jesus' name that we pray these things. Amen.